Well, hello, Westwood family. It's awesome to see you today. A special welcome to everybody online at Bush Lake and West Tonka, where Pastor Joel is at, if you're wondering where he's physically at today. That's the place. And today we're closing out the series on the benefits of one anothering. And if you've been around here the last couple weeks, you know Pastor Joel has been leading the church through specific times of honoring certain groups and people. And today, with Labor Day weekend, we want to take some dedicated time to honor those who are in farming, agricultural business, manufacturing, and construction. So connected to those things in any way. Maybe you build things. Maybe you sell things related to these. Maybe you farm things. So farming, agricultural business, manufacturing, and construction. If those speak to you and where you're at, would you stand so that we can honor you today? And please, please do stand. We want to thank you. And stay standing. Nope, you got to stay. You got to stay. But you're not alone because we're a body, so we're all going to stand with you as we pray and say thank you. And we're going to pray this prayer that Pastor Joel wrote for us, and we'll pray it together. It'll be on the screens here for us. So let's pray. Lord of all creation and Lord of all labor, we give thanks for your labor that created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and for the rest you demonstrated on the seventh. We are created in your image to do the same. We give thanks for you who cultivate the earth, for you who wake before dawn and labor in the fields, for you who care for livestock, for those who plant seeds, for you who work in manufacturing and agriculture businesses, for you who facilitate the production of tangible goods from raw materials to packaging the final products, for you whose hands are gifted in laying foundations, erecting structural frameworks, installing electrical and plumbing systems, and applying finishes from wood to stone to paint, for you who work with tools, machinery, and equipment to perform your work safely and efficiently, we give you thanks. Lord, bless these hands as they create, build, and produce. Guide them in their tasks, keeping them safe from harm and accidents. Provide them with strength and perseverance to complete their work with excellence. Give to them assurance of income, and provide for them all the resources and support that they need. Grant them days of rest to strengthen their bodies, sharpen their minds, and rejuvenate their souls. May their labor bring growth and prosperity to our communities and glory to your name. May your favor be poured over them and their families. Bless their ability to create in ways that people will stand in awe of your creative work in and through them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. And so as we close out this series on the benefits of one anothering, today we're talking about being members of one another, or specifically we could say the benefits of being a member. And to dive into this, we're going to be pulling out of Romans chapter 12, and it reads like this: For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So we're going to talk about what it is to be connected to each other, to be in community with each other, to walk with each other and have gifts that complement each other and help each other as we move forward. We belong to each other. We're members to each other. There's many gifts and Christ is the center. And I'm going to tell you right off the front, there are some headwinds in our culture that keep us from living out fully this teaching. Because honestly, this teaching is pretty simple. It's putting it into practice that is a little more challenging in the American cultural context. And here's why. There's two headwinds. The first one is Americans, we are just ridiculously independent, fiercely independent. Would you agree? Yeah, so I was a couple years ago in Ethiopia and had the chance to visit with a family, go to their home in their neighborhood. And first of all, it was just an awesome cross-cultural experience. Like, coming into their house, I'm not a coffee drinker, but I had coffee that day. Because as I walked into the house, the mom of the house is sitting on the ground outside the house and hand grinding the coffee beans. Then a little bit later, she's sitting in the corner and she's got kind of this whole setup and she's brewing the coffee. And then she brings it over in this little cup and she says, "Would you like some coffee?" It's like, I'm not saying no to that, right? So I had my first cup of coffee in probably 10 years at that moment. And then the kids, they were showing me around their neighborhood and just like 100 yards away from their house. They're like, "Here's where the hyenas live." It's like, oh, that's different. Very different. Like, how does that feel going out at night? I had a lot of questions. But as we were talking, they're preparing to move to the United States. And so they were really curious about how it works in America. So I was describing to them an American neighborhood as compared to an Ethiopian neighborhood. And I said, you know, in America, you probably know your next door neighbors and their names. You might know the names of the people two doors down from you. But for most of us, once we get 3, 4, 5 houses down, we might recognize a face, don't even really know names, more likely just their car that we see coming out in and out. And they were like jaws on the ground, shocked. For them, their entire neighborhood is one giant family system. Everybody's engaged and connected with each other. The kids, half the time, they don't even know where the kids are. They're just in somebody else's house and coming and going. And so they're like, nobody connects? To them, it was just mind-boggling. But is that not the American culture? And does that not translate to church? Think about that. How many of us sit in church that we've maybe been at for 5 or 10 years, but it's still filled with hundreds of people that are relative strangers to us? We kind of know this little group here and this group here, we sit next to these people, but we don't have this in-depth members of one another community. So there's a headwind coming from our cultural American culture. The second headwind that hits us as the American culture is that our country, American culture, has a low view of church. And it used to be a high view. You know, in the 50s, 60s, maybe 70s, if you were a church goer, it was looked at as a high value, an important thing. Nowadays, it's looked at as a low view of church. And I was talking to Pastor Joel about that this week, and I love the way he said that. He said, at Westwood, we have a high view of church. We see the value of being in community, in connection, in ministry, following Jesus together. And that is a countercultural stance. And so even as I talk through these things, I know that putting them into practice, the reality is we've got some cultural realities that will push against us. So my goal today is to inspire us to step in despite those headwinds. Amen to that? All right, so let's get into it. So as I do this, the cultural realities of that, I want to share with you a couple images that kind of break this down. The first one is this, that church is a place to go, and it is also the people of God. We are the church. Would you just look at the person next to you and say, we are the church? Yeah, we are together, the church. It's not just the place, it's the people. But for many of us, our faith lives circle more around a place and our engagement with the place than it does around our engagement with the people. Especially if you just click in online, if you just come in for services, if you're just receiving and not engaging. Now, I want to use an illustration that I used years ago in a church. And it has to do with hot coals. And years ago, I was thinking, because I love those illustrations, and I was thinking, how cool would it be to have a grill, a charcoal grill, up on the stage, and then we'll see these hot coals. And so I thankfully did a test drive, and I brought in the grill, and I set it up, and I lit it, and a couple things happened I didn't realize would happen. One, you know, a grill smells great when you're outside. It is not made for indoors. It's not. And that smell, that it just kind of lingered. Secondly, it eats up all the oxygen in the room, and we really didn't want people to suffocate. So cut that out. I mean, I didn't catch anything on fire, but decided not to do that. But today I wanted just to picture hot coals, like in the bottom of a coal grill, or maybe a fire, if you've seen a fire at the end of the night where the wood coals are all just kind of glowing. So there's a metaphor where a pastor is engaging with an individual who had disconnected from the people of the church. So he went over to visit this individual, and they sat together in his living room, and he had a wood fire burning. And the pastor, as they're talking, took the poker and he moved one of the coals away from the fire. It had been glowing red with all the rest, but as he moved it away, it just slowly lost its color and then went dark. And they kept talking, and really what he said didn't really stick. But then he took the poker before he left, and he moved that same hot coal, or that same coal, back towards the rest of the coals, and it started to warm back up, and it caught on fire again. And the point he was making was clearly, like, together, there's something about being together that we are encouraged, we're built, like, we miss you, and we want to help light and stoke that fire back in you. And some of us are in, literally, physically, in the place of church and can feel disconnected from the people. And so today I want to take that poker and help nudge us back together to build the community. We are the people. So as I was talking to Pastor Joel about this, he used this phrase, and I just love this phrase. He says, we get to be the church. And so I want to talk about the benefits of being members, of membership together, and what does it look like that we get to be the church? And the first one is pulled from Galatians 6, verse 2. Jesus says this, Paul said this, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Talking about community, walking with each other, we carry each other's burdens. I internalize this as the phrase, no one walks alone. You just look at the person next to you and tell them, you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. As followers of Jesus, we are in this together. It is a beautiful thing. I actually believe that the church, when it is living this out, there is no more awesome community to be a part of than that. I mean, imagine this. If I told you that invited you into a group where you could make lifelong friends, gain invaluable wisdom for life, find forgiveness for your failures, make real change in the world, and that all of those benefits were eternal and you could experience them even after death, that would be a pretty awesome group to be a part of, wouldn't it? Welcome to the local church. We have such a privilege to walk together. And there's just something so profound about when we are seen and when we see each other. This morning, when I came in, I don't know if you ever have days like this. I came in and I just wasn't feeling it. You know, sometimes you ever have that day where you're like, I know I'm on, but I'm just not feeling it. And I was talking to Jimmy and Jess, who were both on the worship team here. Man, they just spoke. I don't even know if they realized they were doing it at the time, but they just spoke words of life into me that I needed to hear. And they just moved my dimming coal right back into the fire. And we need that. And then before one of the earlier services had communion with the team ahead of time, man, it just stoked the fire some more. And I don't know if you've ever thought about communion that way, but communion comes from the word community. We're communing with God and communing with each other. It is a connective, it is a deeply connected, it's a way that we stoke the fire of connections. And let me just say, having been around the church for my lifetime, especially in the last few decades, I have seen such amazing community when people lift each other up and carry each other's burdens. Now, it's a funny thing as a pastor, we get invited into your highest of high moments and your lowest of low moments. It's a strange thing, and maybe Pastor Clint and others can speak to this too, but we feel like we are a part of everybody's family. But sometimes I wonder, does everybody feel like they're a part of each other's families? And every once in a while, man, the lowest of low things hit. Like I've gotten those calls. Somebody's son was just electrocuted in an accident. A baby didn't make it. Just thing after thing, tragedy after tragedy. But I'll tell you, one of the most beautiful things is to see how the body of Christ, the members, come alongside of each other. I've seen it where a woman's husband left her in one of the just worst ways you can imagine, and then she was taken into somebody's home. Others came alongside of her and helped her. Maybe you've been there. They've brought meals. They've seen you. They've walked with you. If you haven't experienced in that community in that way, join us. There's something beautiful about that that the rest of the world does not know. To walk together, to be seen in your hardest moment. And I had some people come up to me after the first service and just say, man, we are in that place. We're in that help. We need help. And that is so beautiful when the community walks with each other. Here's an image to go with this. The church is, oh, hold on. I got to live this out. The church is bald guy with microphone. The church is also walking with each other and helping each other up. And there are times when every one of us needs someone to help pick us up. And there is a joy in getting to be the one to help pick others up. That is being the church, walking with each other, seeing each other, knowing that no matter how hard it gets, you're not alone and we're coming alongside of you. The holy movement of Jesus. We are a community, but we're not just a community who sees each other. We're the followers of Jesus. Amen to that. And as followers of Jesus, we have our eyes on him. One of my favorite illustrations is if you had 100 pianos in a room and you tried to tune them to each other, you would never be able to do it, at least not easily. But if you had one tuning fork and he tuned all the pianos to that same tuning fork, they would all be in tune with each other. This is the community. We have our eyes on Jesus. We're in sync with him. And through that, we're in sync with and see each other. And hear me, if you're in the room here, if you're watching online and you're connected to the place, but not to the people, this is an invitation to step in, to be picked up when you need it, and to pick others up when they need it. When one hurts, we're there with them and hurt with them. When we're celebrating anniversaries, milestones, births, we're celebrating together as a body. There's something awesome about that and so profound. So that's one piece, is the community together. A second benefit of walking together is that we are a holy people on a holy mission, sent by Jesus, led by Jesus. Check this out from the book of Matthew. Peter and the disciples are talking to Jesus, and Jesus says, "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by the Father in heaven." And then check this out. "And I tell you that you are Peter." Peter, Cephas, means rock. He's renaming him rock. And he's saying, "On this rock, I will build," this is Jesus speaking, "my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." So, years ago, I had the honor of starting a church. And I'm going to tell you this. There is no one more prideful in the world than a church planter 6 months before they launch a church. They know everything. There is no one more humble on the planet than a church planter 6 months after launch. Just like completely dependent on God. What did I get into? How are we going to do this? Oh my goodness. And I was in that spot about 6 months after launch. And this passage, I was studying this passage and it just hit me. It was such a gift, like water to my thirsty soul, where I read this and I saw it fresh. Jesus says, "On this rock, I will build my church." Whose church is it? Jesus's. Whose church is Westwoods? Jesus' church. Who's building the church? Jesus is doing the building. We sometimes, when we're like, we're the church, it's all about us. We have to do the work. Jesus is doing the work, and he works through us. He works with us. It is such a beautiful gift. And we are on the holy mission of Jesus. I have a friend who said, he said to me once, you know, the church doesn't have a mission. The mission of God has a church. Can I say that again? It's not the church that has a mission. It's the mission of God that has a church. The mission of God has a holy people, you and me, all of us who are called to his work. And look what it says. And when we're doing this, as he's fueling it, as he's moving it, the gates of Hades, of hell itself, will not overcome it. Think about that. Gates. Who puts up gates? Who puts up fences? Those who are on the defensive. Have you ever thought about that? So often in Christianity today, because of those headwinds, we're like, oh man, there's just all these forces and cultural forces in our world and darkness, and we're just kind of fighting back against it. Have you ever thought about we're on the offensive side, light breaking into darkness, Jesus fueling his church to bring hope, to bring help, to go to places and help lift up people, engage people, love people, see people, move people from death to life. We're on the side of Jesus. He's at work powerfully through us, moving. And if he's moved you from death to life, don't we want to storm those gates so others can make that same journey? Wow. The mission of God has a church, and that is you and me. Praise God. Praise God. So church membership is a verb. I'll say that again. Church membership is a verb. We don't join a church and say, okay, now here are the list of all the benefits that I receive as a member of this organization. Church membership means I am a member of this community, and I am verbing, acting, moving, doing something, contributing alongside of others as we move forward and follow Christ. It's a verb, and that's what Romans 12 continues on with. He says, we have different gifts. Would you just look at the person next to you and tell them, you have a different gift? You are different. You have a different gift. You know, it's so true. Like, we need each other and our multitude of gifts, and our diversity, and our differences, and working together with our ear to Jesus is such a beautiful thing. And this is how he lays it out in Romans 12. He says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. If your gift is prophesying, truth speaking, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. And if it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. What is he saying? He's saying every single one of us has a gift. And in this body, in this community, on this mission, we should use our gifts. Whatever they are, and they are many and various, and every one of us has one. Sometimes in church, we think the only gifts are the ones that show up on the stage or are serving somewhere on a Sunday. Those are definitely gifts to be used, but they are not the only gifts to be used. All of us, together, to the full extent of our energy, giving glory to God with all we have. I was teaching on this years ago and using more of the body metaphor, and it just struck me because in another place in Corinthians, it talks about the hand and the foot and the eye and how they're all different. And I was thinking, I wonder if Paul wrote that today, if he would speak it differently with the medical knowledge that we have today. If he would talk about the cardiovascular system or the nervous system and how all of these work together differently. And then it struck me, like, there are some really interesting things in our body that we can't live without that aren't always the most beautiful things. Like mucus, for one. You know, like, your body has mucus. Without mucus, that is actually a really hard disease. People who have that, like, it's moving things through your body. The cilia in your nose. I know you didn't think we'd talk about cilia today, but they're moving all this. They're cleansing and cleaning and helping with those allergies that you might be experiencing right now. Like, it's an incredible system. So I talked about all that, and afterwards, the president of the church came up to me and he goes, "You know what? I think the board of the church is the mucus." And I thought, you know, that's actually a great analogy. The executive function of the church is the mucus. So I just want to say, Clint, Thank you. Thank you for being the head mucus operator for Westwood. Can we just give him a hand? Thank you. And the leadership team as a whole. Yeah, I didn't do that every service. I just wanted to honor you here, Clint. So, but every one of us, some might feel more glorious or on a stage, some might seem less glorious, but they are the same level. God has given you a gift. Use your gift for the glory of the King, and we need all. We need all of them. Now, at this point in the message, the temptation for me is to show you a picture of a puzzle and to say there's a missing piece in that puzzle, and that missing piece is you. We're not complete without you. It sounds kind of cheesy, but the thing is, it's not true. We are complete in Jesus. We don't need one more person to join the church or join the community for us to be complete. But we are completed followers of Jesus who are also open arms and welcoming for others. And the more that join, the more we can amplify the gifts God's given us. So here's a better image. The church should feel less like a closed system. We have all we need and we're closed. And more like, hey, we are connected, we are complete, and there is always room for others to connect. And if you have a gift, I mean, if you connect, we want to help amplify your gift, and your gift amplified makes even bigger impact. I love, one of the best things about being part of a local church is how we can magnify our impact together, here, near, and far, on the mission of God, bringing the glory of Jesus, helping people move from death to life. Man. It is a gift, and it is a joy. And so where do we go with this? How do we draw this together? So first off, if you are not a member of the local church, I want to invite you to consider looking into what does it mean to join Westwood, to step into membership. And so there's a membership class, a membership seminar coming up on September 30th. There's opportunity to do that, to dive in, to see others and be seen. And I know at this point, some of us are thinking, man, you're right. I don't feel seen. Yeah, I don't feel connected. And I just wish somebody would come talk to me. Have you ever thought about talking to somebody else? Or maybe just reaching over, like, how do you know the person next to you? They're also not thinking the same thing. I just wish somebody would talk to me. Step up and step in. One way is that membership class. Another way is just talking to the person next to you. And I was talking to Pastor Joel about this message, and I just asked him, what would you say are the benefits of membership, especially in the light of this local church, of Westwood in particular? What are the benefits of membership? And he shared a number of things, and I'm going to boil them down to 3 points. And one of them is that the benefit is that we have the blessing of getting to shepherd one another. And he said that one of the goals of this next year is to elevate the shepherd gift within the church that we see and walk with and pastor one another. And just like I shared earlier, that is such a beautiful thing. The second thing he said is the benefit of membership is commitment, meaning saying, I'm with you, where we say to each other, to as a church, like, I'm with you, and we stand together and hold each other accountable, challenge each other, go deeper. The third one, and I want to close with this because I just think it's beautiful, is he said that one of the benefits of membership is that we see more of God through each other. And this is so true. I was thinking about a friend of mine. He's a black pastor, leads a church, and we were talking one day, and he said, you know, he said the historic kind of European descent church sees God through the lens of comforter and provider. So that's beautiful. He said, historically, the black church sees God through the lens of deliverer and redeemer. And he said, when we come together, we see so much more of who God is because we're connecting to each other. And then he said, well, he didn't say anything else. I don't know where that came from. That was it. I was going to say something else. Oh my goodness. we as a church do need each other. And I think I'm going to go back to an image I skipped. We need to look more like this, the silverware. Less all the same utensil and more a complementary set. When I shared this earlier, somebody talked to me between services and said, hey, where are the chopsticks? You're right. Yeah, we want to add chopsticks. But the truth is, church together should look less like a all the same and more differences. And in that is the beauty of us when we see how you operate and you operate and how God's working in your life different than how he's working in my life and how we walk together and pick each other up. We're showing each other more of who God is. We're revealing the character of God through the lives of one another. And it is such a beautiful thing. So I want to invite you into the next step of going deeper in one anothering, being members of one another, caring for one another, and on this holy mission that Jesus has given us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Lord, would you, using all our diverse gifts and ways and backgrounds, would you, Lord, set us alight? Would you move us forward? Would you unite us in purpose, commune us together, that, Lord, we might be about your business? And, Lord, thank you for the holy mission you've given us, the amazing redemption that you've gifted us with. And let us be a people who storm the gates of hell as we follow your mission and your calling all together in your name. Amen.